Welcome to World Cafe, Words and Music, our podcast from WXBN and NPR Music. I'm David Dye, and our guest today, talking with the Cafe's Michaela Majoun, is Tracy Thorne, who worked with Ben Watt with Everything But the Girl from 1982 to 1999. You may remember their hit in 1995 with Missing. Well, Tracy took a break from music to spend some time with she and Ben's kids. They had twin daughters in 1998, and they had a baby boy in 2001. Made a solo album, Out of the Woods, in 2007, and now has a new, very kind of adult record called Love and Its Opposite. And Michaela began the interview by asking Tracy Thorne if when she first went on hiatus, she thought she would return to music.
Well, to be honest, when I stopped, I didn't really intend to stop quite so completely and for so long. I just thought I was having a break, you know, when I first had babies. And like a lot of people who didn't have kids, I imagined I'd just get straight back on with my life and, you know, everything would be the same. So it was really a surprise to me that I took such a complete break for such a long time.
Did having twins right off the bat have something to do with it?
It did, yeah. I mean, we did do another album after that. We recorded the Temperamental album, and we even did a bit of touring and took the girls with us when they were about 18 months old. And that just finished me off. I thought, I can't do both these things at once. And then, you know, I had another child, and I thought, no, I'm going to just have a proper break now and enjoy this, you know, not try and tear myself in half.
I noticed that you're not touring for this new CD. Why is that?
Well, you know, those reasons haven't completely gone away. You know, the kids are older, but they still, and I still really prefer a life where we live a kind of family life where we're together, and it's not me, you know, talking to them down a phone line from Australia. So, you know, that's the life I choose to lead. I'm really happy with it. And, you know, I have the luxury that I can still do some recording and writing. And, you know, that's enough for me. It keeps me happy.
That's marvelous. We're with Tracy Thorne today on the World Cafe. Her new CD is called Love and Its Opposite. There's an intimacy to this CD, Tracy, that's very affecting, very moving. It's the way you sing and what you write about, and it makes us feel we're really close to you, like we're all in your head, to quote a lyric from the song Long White Dress. And I guess that's a trademark of your music.
Yeah, I think, you know, the kind of voice I have is not suited at all to, you know, big demonstrative shows of sort of emotion that translate well on a big stage in an arena setting. You know, I'm not that kind of singer. I think what I'm better at doing is sounding like I'm in the room with you, singing right into your ear. And, you know, the lyrics I write are often, you know, quite tightly focused and detailed. And again, they're, you know, they're pretty intimate in their subject matter. So, you know, it seems to make sense to record records that, you know, use those strengths, and I don't try and do stuff that I'm just not so good at.
Well, certainly we want you to sing into our ear. And let's start with the opening track on the CD. You start with the subject of divorce. Oh, the divorces. Mm-hmm. And that actually song might prompt people to wonder if you're still with Ben.
And we am, yeah.
In fact, you're here with Ben on the World Cafe. Could you do Oh, yeah. The Divorces for us?
Absolutely, yeah.
Who's next? Always the ones that you least expect. They seem so strong. It turned out she wanted more all along. And each time I hear who's to part, I examine my heart, see how it stands. Wonder if it's still in safe hands. Who's fled? Somebody's bed. I should have guessed that David is far. sides. But that one was his fault, and this one is her fault. No one gets off without paying the ride. And
Tracy Thorne is with us today on the World Cafe at the piano on Oh, the Divorces, the opening track of her new album, which is called Love and Its Opposite. So that song evidently inspired by people you know. In fact, you mention Jens and rhyme it with Lens in the song. And Jens Lekman is someone who you collaborate with on this album. I mean, he sings with you on one of the songs, so evidently he's one of your friends. Are a lot of your friends going through this?
Yeah, they are. I mean, I've hit that age where I don't get invited to any weddings anymore, but every time I pick up the phone, someone tells me they're about to get divorced. You know, so it's a very particular phase in your life. And I think what started to strike me really is how complicated it is unraveling relationships when everyone's older. And, you know, most of my friends have got kids and, you know, it's really, really difficult. And I always used to write songs about love and its difficulties and, you know, coming to an end when I was younger, but I don't think I appreciated really how much more difficult it got as you got older.
What do you think is the secret to you and Ben staying together while your friends are divorcing?
I don't know. I don't want to tempt fate by even talking about that.
Superstition.
That's very risky.
Getting back to the song for a moment, that to my ear, it has a little bit of almost a music hall lilt to the music.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a pop song, really. It's not even, you know, a folk song, or it doesn't really fit into any of those traditions. It's more like a kind of show tune or something, really. It's a waltz tempo, you know, just on piano. On the album version, there's a string arrangement as well, which I like because it really plays up the sort of romantic counterpoint. So the lyric, you know, is kind of talking about the death of romance, but then the strings come in with this amazing sort of Viennese ballroom kind of effect, and I like that contrast.
Exactly. You draw on so many sources and genres of music. Did you grow up listening to all of them?
No, I didn't really grow up in a particularly musical household at all. I had an older brother who was 10 years older than me who I mean, wasn't crazy about music. He had a few of the albums, you know, that everyone of his age had. But music was something I really started to discover for myself as a teenager. And that meant starting out with what was happening at the time, which was punk, and then the aftermath of punk and the whole sort of indie DIY scene in the UK.
And then you became such a moving force in where the music was going in the UK and elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it was a time when it was actually very easy to get involved in music. The whole sort of ethos of the music scene that I was interested in was that anyone could do it. Absolutely anyone could join in. You didn't have to be particularly musically skilled or trained. And, you know, it was quite a liberating time, for especially if you were very young, because by definition you weren't very musically trained. So you just suddenly felt allowed to pick up a guitar and call yourselves a band. And so that's exactly what I did, and lots of friends of mine did as well.
What did you major in school? You and Ben met at college, right?
I was doing English literature. Ben was doing English and drama.
Wow. So you both just took up the music together. But you must have known by then that you had an amazing voice. Or a good voice.
Well, I mean, yeah, people had started to mention it. So, I was beginning to get more confidence as a singer. When I started out in bands, I played the guitar and sang very little. So it took a couple of years before I began to think, well, actually, you know, I'm the world's worst guitar player, but I could sing a bit. So that's when I kind of shifted focus a bit.
Tracy Thorn is our guest today on The World Cafe. Her new CD is called Love and Its Opposite. And the song that we heard before, Oh the Divorces, as you were mentioning, happens at a certain point in life when your friends start to go their separate ways. And there are a number of songs on this CD that deal with getting out of youth in middle age and the consequences. And I guess that's paralleling what you're thinking about these days, because you're at that point in your life. I don't know exactly how old you are, but your kids are getting to be teenagers almost, right?
Yes. Yeah.
There's one really haunting song called Late in the Afternoon. The lyrics mention turning the clocks back and not being a novelty, and it takes place late in the afternoon, late in the year. All of these images of, cruising into a new phase in life.
Yeah, I mean, it's about, as you say, you know, the idea of being late on in everything. It's set late in the day, and you know, it's the idea that if you've been with someone for a long time, how do you sustain those things? And, you know, how do you kind of move on through the period when obviously the novelty has worn off, and yet you hope there's something deeper than that that, you know, will prop everything up. So it's a sort of slightly questioning song, but I hope it has a reasonably positive, hopeful outcome.
Are you yourself having trouble adjusting to the passage of time, shall we call it?
No, not really. I mean, although I've written all these songs, I'm not sitting around agonizing about it at all. I'm pretty comfortable with where I am. I don't find it that difficult. I'm certainly not rushing off to have Botox or anything ridiculous and trying to hang on to looking like I'm 25. So, no, I just think it's an interesting subject, really. If you're a writer, every stage of your life throws up interesting, different challenges, and I like looking at them.
Well, can we hear that one late in the afternoon?
Absolutely. Yep. Okay. Late in the afternoon, October. Lights be coming on soon. Late in the afternoon, a little older, be turning the clocks back soon. But you can't turn the clocks back, can you? I'm not a novelty. You know every inch of me. Please don't begin to doubt me. Oh, for
you loved about me. And look out your high window.
Was late in the afternoon, Tracy Thorn and Ben Watt. So there's another song on the album that deals with kind of the same period of life, but from a different perspective. In fact, it's kind of a character that you create. It's called Singles Bar.
Mm.
It's not you, definitely.
It's not me, literally. It's some of the details in it are picked up from things friends of mine have told me, friends who have found themselves back unexpectedly single again. And, you know, I've picked up some information about quite how horrifying that can be. But it's also slightly a kind of fantasy about, you know, a situation that anyone can imagine themselves being in. The woman in the song, you know, she's not actually single. She's taking off her ring as she goes into this singles bar. So, you know, it's kind of about someone just hitting middle age and breaking out a little bit, you know, misbehaving, trying to work out whether that's going to be a positive or a negative thing. A couple of people said to me recently, someone I was doing an interview with said, oh, it's such a sad song. And I thought, God, I think it's kind of funny, actually, in a way, but maybe I've got a very warped sense of humour. I think there's something kind of humorous about this. The last line of the song is very sad, but up to that point, I think, you know, this woman does actually have a bit of spark about her, I think.
Well, it's definitely a counterpoint to Late in the Afternoon. I think we have to hear it now after talking about
it. Okay, I'll let everyone make up their own minds.
Is there room for one more at the singles bar? I've been working up the courage all year. I pull off my ring as I push my way in. Won't be needing it here. Can you guess my more at the singles bar to numb all the pain I've endured? I lay on my back for a Hollywood wax. I'm stripped and I'm French manicured.
Tracy Thorne today on the World Cafe, who just did a song from her new CD, Love and Its Opposite, called Singles Bar. Dealing with aging, what will you tell your girls? You have twin daughters. You have twin cities. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
You have twin daughters. What will you tell them about aging? Or what have you told them?
Oh, I mean, at the moment, they're at the stage where, you know, they're telling me everything, basically. I'm about, you know, a tiny, tiny percentage interesting. So, yeah, they're, you know, they're at a brilliant stage in their life where just everything's ahead of them and everything's new, everything's exciting. So I don't have that much to teach them at the moment.
Were you wild when you were young?
My parents would say yes. I would say I don't think I was particularly, but, you know, I grew up in a very small town outside of London and in quite a conservative neighbourhood with, you know, fairly conventional parents. And certainly my teenage years did cause some problems, but I don't know. In retrospect, when I look back and I think what, you know, what teenagers can get up to, no, I wasn't that bad.
Were they excited when you became a musician who became known?
I think at the point when, you know, we began to be successful, they started to relax more about it, definitely. I think, like all parents, they were just probably anxious up until then, thinking, well, you know, this girl's gone to school and gone to university and is very bright, and is this a sensible career path? But, you know, like all parents, they were just happy to see us doing okay.
That's great. There is a family thread that goes through this album. I mean, there's this, that wonderful song, Hormones, which, what is the line? I can't think of it now. What's the line about the refrain about the hormones themselves?
Yours are just kicking in and mine are just checking out.
Fantastic line. So you're dealing with passing that on to daughters, and there's a beautiful song about one's parents being gone and the memory of them. And then a lot of introspection about who am I right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, you know, that's typical sort of midlife stuff, really. It's about reassessing where you stand in relation to the other generations around you. You know, that's another aspect of being at this point, I think. You know, your parents, inevitably, you're losing your parents or they're getting older. You know, and you've got the next generation coming up behind you. And it is sometimes difficult to work out exactly where you fit in. And, you know, people are sort of demanding things from you often at both ends of the age group scale. So, you know, it does throw up lots of questions about how much time and space you can make for yourself and, you know, where your value lies.
Do you have any plans of collaborating with Ben again, or what's he up to these days?
I mean, because I took such a long break from music, he set himself up with all sorts of other projects. You know, he's been doing a lot of DJing over the years, and he's runs two record labels, and he does a radio show. So he's remained very active in the whole music scene and, you know, is very busy a lot of the time. So, you know, if we were to work together again, it would mean reassessing what both of us do, and he'd have to probably put some of his projects on one side for a time. So, you know, we're not there at the moment. I'm certainly not saying we'll never work together again. We probably will, but haven't got any plans just yet.
Our guest today on the World Cafe is Tracy Thorne. Her new CD is Love and Its Opposite, and it's filled with wonderful new original songs and a couple of covers, including a Lee Hazlewood song that you do with Jens Lechman, kind of like Lee Hazlewood and Nancy Sinatra.
Yeah, no, exactly that. When I thought I'd do that song, I thought, well, it'd be really nice to get a male voice on there as well and do a little nod to Lee and Nancy, you know, that classic duet style.
Your version has kind of a dark overtone. Did the original?
A bit, yeah. I think we've enhanced that even more and made it even darker and spookier. Someone said the other day that it reminded them of those kind of Nick Cave murder ballads that he did with people like Kylie Minogue, where there's, you know, that sort of slightly eerie atmosphere to it, which I think is good.
A bird can fly on just one wing, but then why should he? Where there's you, there's me.
More from Tracy Thorn, and thanks to Tracy and Michaela Majoun. That is Come On Home to Me from Love and Its Opposite, the new album. I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN and NPR Music is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia at xpn.org. You can visit our website at worldcafe.npr.org to find out more. Thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.